go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, my goodness gracious. Yesterday was a halcyon day here in Appalachistan. And, or wait, it doesn't always have to be Stan. Now that West Virginia has thoroughly embarrassed itself, we can call ourselves Appalachabama. West Virginia Sippy. Oh, I think there's a lot of possibility here. Yes, oh yes indeed. Oh, whatever we are, yesterday was a halcyon day in it. Today, however, not so halcyon. No, not at all. Not at all. We've gone all gray and cold, and it's, pushing down toward freezing and moving probably a little around. It'll probably finish up the night somewhere in the high 20s. But that's okay. More on this in a moment. I had occasion today to have to travel the 25 or so miles between Shake and Cade Mansion here and Summersville, West Virginia. And I heard, understand the statewide radio network in this in West Virginia, Bama, or Appalachistan, or whatever. The statewide radio network is owned by a right-wing jackass, and he makes sure that his ideology pervades everything there. And so we were driving along listening to one of the people who works for that radio network filling in for West Virginia's Flush Flemball wannabe. Ah, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. Tune in is loud and clear. I appreciate that. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go to get into the chat room, and we've got a wonderful gang already forming up this evening. Good evening, Devin. Good evening, Jeremy. Good evening, John. Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, Lance. Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Sergi. Good evening, Texas T, and good evening to our two inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators. Good evening, Sparky and Lottie. Hopefully, we will get the chat room issues sorted out sooner rather than later. These are technical issues, and they just require a little bit of attention from John Fox. So, good evening, one and all, and good evening to everyone who wanders in later. If you're listening right now and you're not in the chat room, go on over. It is a whopping good multimedia real-time good time. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will find access to the Listen Live players, which are just awesome. And you'll find access to the podcasts, as well as the ever-present Contribute page. That's where you go to help us keep this little enterprise running and on the air and all of that. We're trying to come up with $75 more to meet Scott from Sweden's Have a Show on Me challenge. Hopefully that will happen this evening. And we will be even for the week, or thereabouts. So the PayPal interface is there. If you prefer to work by the mails, yeah, you can do that. You can send your efforts to keep this up and running to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. With the understanding that with the understanding that, of course, nothing should be made payable to Bob Kincaid, as I don't see it. It should be made payable to the Horn, something like that, because Boss Man Wayne puts on his spider-proof gloves and reaches into the echo chamber that is frequently the mailbox and then sends it on down to the credit union, and we pay bills. So that's how that works. But anyway, you may or may not know, I imagine since this is one of the most intelligent, most plugged in, most connected radio audiences with which I have ever been affiliated, and certainly which exists presently in the world, I presume you know that we did something rather momentous as a species in the last 24 hours. We landed, and by we I mean humans, because this was done by the European Space Agency, not by NASA, because here in America we're too goddamn dumb to be able to do nothing no more. All we can do is think about the deficit and whether or not they was dinosaurs, what Adam and Eve rode to church on Sunday. We can't do much. We have become an idiocracy. Get your hands off my junk. So the European Space Agency sent a probe out years and years and years ago with a little robot of sorts. It's about the size of a washing machine. I don't care what the size of it is. By God, about 3:30 Eastern time this morning, they landed it on a comet. Now, consider that the only thing the United States has ever done is put a man on the moon, and that's no small feat. But the European Space Agency put a lander called Rosetta on a comet. And I can't begin to express just how cool that is. How amazing. What a brilliant extension of human ability that is. It's just astonishing. And I'm very, well, my heartiest congratulations to the smart people who come from countries that are dedicated to having smart people in the European Space Agency for accomplishing that. Us here, Merca, oh, we better take some more of our paved roads and turn them into gravel, because we can't afford no pavement no more. We're poor. We got billions to give to political consultants and media companies that run attack ads and stuff like that, make sure nobody wants to go out to the pose and vote and such as. But we can't do no space stuff no more because we're dumb, because we're America. I mean, isn't that the message? Starting with what, 1980? Ronald Reagan, well, it's morning in America. And the only thing that we could do, I mean, there's no... No, hell no, there's no irony involved with the fact that the space shuttle blew up in 1986 on Ronnie Reagan's watch. This was, of course, the same president who had 200 Marines killed in a barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, because he wanted to, well, we need to show the flag. When they were perfectly safe and could actually get to hot spots faster, if they had been on the aircraft carrier where they were supposed to be and could have been, you know, choppered over. No, America, morning in America. And, of course, morning in America lasted about 15 seconds because, as of Ronald Reagan, we plunged into an eternal goddamn night. The comet in question is Comet 67P, Churyumov. Gerasimenko. Okay, I'll take a run at a Russian name or two. At least nobody's asking me to pronounce Halkin. All right. So I'm gobsmacked by the astrophysics and the astrogation, and, you know, a little soupçon of good luck that you need. Because to do that, I mean, here in America, you know, what? Who do we call for something like that now? We can't call NASA. They're not hardly in the space business anymore. Maybe we can call the NRA. Well, son, in the name of freedom, what you want to do is you want to lead them. You want to lead your comet like you'd lead a duck down here. You got your comet call, son? No, we ain't got a comet call. Well, just use that duck call that you got from that feller that thinks that slaves was happy. You know, the one on the TV. Duck Doofus. Yeah, just honk on it a little bit and take your shotgun and point it at the sky and hope you hit a comet. We hope it don't land on us, though. America! Hell yeah! Maybe I'm a little bit bitter about this. Maybe I'm a little bit bitter because I was born with the space age. I was born in the year that my state, West Virginia, turned 100. I'm a few months older than exactly 100 years younger than my state. The first quilt, and it is sadly gone now, don't ask. The first quilt that my grandmother ever made for me was a quilt of white stars on blue blocks for every county. One star for each county in West Virginia. Because she was worried that since I had been born in Alabama, I would not be fully cognizant of my West Virginia roots. On the back, you know, when you go to make a quilt, you can use anything for the back. On the back was a sheet for a little boy's bedroom that showed astronauts exploring the planets and gave the names of the planets. And some of the first few words I ever learned to read were Earth, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune. Leaving the other one for you guys. I learned to spell Uranus. I was a kid as I watched the Apollo program come into its full flower. Yeah. The unrepentant but clear-headed and commonsensical Nazi that we hired to build us a space program, namely Dr. Werner von Braun, the rocket goes up, who cares where it comes down? It's not my concern, says Werner von Braun. Dr. Werner von Braun sold us on the idea that, yes, and he told John Kennedy, yes, of course we can go to the moon. Going to the moon will be no big deal. Now, if you want to really feel like you've done something, you want to go to Mars. But by the time 1972 or so rolled around, people were getting bored with just going to the moon all the time. I mean, really. The Vietnam War had sort of spoiled a lot of the good feelings from all of that. And the ratings went down. And Richard Nixon decided we really didn't need a moon program anymore. And we didn't. And, you know, Richard Nixon was a rabid anti-communist. And, well, we can't be going to a red planet. We might bring redness back. So we saw the inevitable decline and now the demise of our manned space program. If we want to send an American to the International Space Station, we have to hitch a ride on somebody else's rocket. God, that's embarrassing. It's humiliating. We have to hitch rides with other countries. Yeah, sorry, man. Our space program's busted. Can we fly into space with y'all, India? Reckon we could hitch a ride on a Chinese rocket? Because our space program's broke. And, yeah, Texas T in the chat room noting, and now our Republican majority will make sure we have no hope of further space advances. What the hell do we need to be going into space for? There ain't nothing out there but a bunch of goddamn science. And so last night, I saw something somewhere, some program, where the phrase was used by someone being interviewed, some science type. We are on the cusp of a golden age of planetary discovery. And I thought, yeah, I'll bet we are. But you know what? The cusp may be all we ever get. Because we're in a race, you see. We're in a race between the people who are smart and the people who are stupid. And in our country, at least, the people who are smart are wearing anchor chains, while the people who are stupid are running Acme jet roller skates and have not yet managed to Wile E. Coyote-like propel themselves into the side of a canyon wall. Splat. Mother. And so, driving down the road, heading for Summersville today, well, I had another one of those moments when the woman who was filling in for our chief broadcast rush right wing Limbaugh wannabe, a guy named Hoppy Kercheval, a woman named Shauna Johnson, was filling in for him. And she was interviewing a professor, a scientist, someone speaking down at Marshall University named Mario Livio, who was delivering some sort of science-y talk down at a university where they have an endowed chair of Ayn Rand studies. No, I'm not kidding. That's courtesy of the former head of BB&T Bank out of North Carolina. And she's blathering along with the guy who's talking science-y things. And he wrote a book on, and it made me wonder if maybe he's some sort of right-winger, I don't know. But he's a European, so really. Of course, they have their fair share of fascists. And he's talking about this book that he wrote in which he notes great scientific blunders. And he says, well, I've got a Galileo blunder. And I think he was Italian. I got a Galileo blunder, and I've got a Darwin blunder, and I've got an Einstein blunder, and I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. Is this guy associated with the Creation Museum down in Kentucky and Ken Ham and all of that? No, I don't think so. Because he went on and he said, I argue that we have to be prepared to make great scientific blunders, not little ones. We need to think about big, important things. Yeah, okay. So, question, answer. And then Shauna Johnson, crack professional fill-in interviewer for West Virginia's Rush Limbaugh wannabe, Hoppy Kercheval. Shauna Johnson said, Professor, what's the universe made of? At which point I looked at Agnes and said, why is there air? These people are headquartered out of Morgantown, West Virginia, the home of the state university, our land-grant university. It has an aeronautical engineering department, but it also has a department that's devoted to dragging every last little milligram molecule of coal out of every last seam in West Virginia, the School of Mining Engineering. What's the universe made of? Well, snakes and snails and puppy dog tails? Demons? Black bile? Ill humors? What's the universe made of?
Dark matter.
You mean like Obama? No. No, she didn't. The fact that she didn't is proven by the fact that I'm here instead of having just run off the road into a cliff face at me like. But we're talking about a radio network in a state where more people believe the Earth is less than 7,000 years old than can even express what the theory of natural selection is about. Yeah, Steve with an email. The universe is made of green cheese, duh. Oh, wait, that's the moon. Yeah, yeah. What's the universe made of? So that was the trip over. I had to go over and get my a copy of my MRI images on a disc to take to the neurosurgeon next month. And on the way back, and there's a little bit of background to this, too. This was my second trip to Summersville in a couple of days. A few days ago, coming back from there, they got a Dairy Queen. We don't have a Dairy Queen. For 50 years in this little community where I live, we had a damn Dairy Queen. But a couple of years ago, the owner decided that paying for a Dairy Queen franchise was just too expensive, and so he decided he would stop being a Dairy Queen franchisee, and he became the Dairy King. Sort of ad hoc looking, side of the road. That didn't last. He shut down, and the building's even gone now. Because this little community where I live, where coal keeps the lights on, is dying by degrees. We've lost our car dealership. Our little grocery store. Our little grocery store, about a mile from where I am right now, our little grocery store burnt down because when the fire broke out in the laundromat next to the grocery store, the volunteer fire department, Johnny on the spot, came driving up. They responded completely appropriately and would have had the fire under control if, in fact, West Virginia American Water Company, a for-profit company, and wholly owned subsidiary of American Water Company, hadn't turned off the water mains to the fire hydrant. I kid you not. And so, poof. Monday, I walked out of my not-a-doctor appointment to see ash falling out of the sky, sort of, well, I mean, not Pompeii-like or anything, or else it would have been up to my knees before I knew what happened, but literally, big pieces of ash, and every fire truck within 15 miles was sitting in the parking lot of our Dollar General, which sits where our car dealership, where my grandfather used to sell cars, and had been there since the 1920s, one of the first Ford dealerships in West Virginia, which is gone now. Well, the Dollar General sits there now. And they were kind of scratching their heads and saying, we all know. They had just turned their heat on for the first time, and the building filled up with smoke. It was just dust burning off, apparently, or something, so they were told. We don't even have a beer joint in this town anymore. and a town without a beer joint is no longer a town. Now, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a church. But we've got a Subway, a really crappy pizza place, and that's pretty, and a couple of convenience stores, and that's it. That's the way towns die over the years in a resource extraction colony. So, yeah, a couple of days ago, coming back from Summersville, Agnes and I stopped at Dairy Queen, who now has the Orange Julius franchise. They don't have the really good hot dogs, but they got the drink franchise. And I was tickled because as a kid, I loved Orange Julius's. And strawberry ones and pineapple ones and pina colada ones. And they've expanded into smoothies and stuff. It's no longer a standalone franchise. It's just something that Dairy Queen sells. So we pulled up at the drive-thru, and Agnes said she wanted a medium pina colada, Julius. I, on the other hand, epicure that I am, opted for the pineapple mango, Julius, in a large. One large, one medium, flavor doesn't matter. And the voice came through the speaker. Thank you. Pull around. That'll be $6.66. Shit, you not. This is a real story. And so I pulled up there and handed her the money, and she gave me her change, and she said, that number don't bother you? I said, no, ma'am, not a bit. She said, most everybody, when that happens, they freak out. And they order a little ice cream cone or some small something just to keep it from being $6.66. I said, well, one, I don't believe in that God. And two, if I did and the almighty creator of the universe was willing to damn the eternal soul of mine that he created to an eternal torment in hell over the price of two goddamn Juliuses at Dairy Queen, I'm thinking that's a pretty pissant God. She laughed. She did. She laughed. And then she kind of looked around, waiting for the thunderbolt. Or maybe the four donkey men of the apocalypse. We can't afford horses around here. And so we drove our merry way back home. Fast forward to today. Had to go get the MRI results on the disc. Because, God forbid, a doctor's office should actually pick up the phone and call and say, we need Bob's MRI from November the 3rd. Will you please send it down to Dr. Schmendrick's office so that we... No, that can't happen. No, I got to go to... But anyway, because we have the best health care system in the world. Yeah. So I look at Agnes and the boys with us, and I said, anybody want a Julius? I kind of want a Julius. And so there we sat at the drive-thru once again. And this time I opted for a large orange pineapple Julius. Agnes said she'd pass. And Ferg said he wanted a medium strawberry banana Julius. Flavors, again, have nothing to do with it. It's just detail, right? And the little voice comes through the tinny speaker. That'll be $6.67.
Drive around, please.
And so I did drive around. And I got to tell you, I'm on a mission now. And I got around to the drive-thru window, and I tendered my money. And I said, you know, the last time we made this order, one large Julius, one small Julius, and it was a different woman working the window. So the last time we placed this order, it was $6.66. She said, it was. But I just move it up a penny to keep people from freaking out. Really. One penny will keep Satan from entering you through your through your Orange Julius. Whew! Yeah. Now I'm a lovely, pleasant individual, so I didn't say, then why didn't you knock it off by a cent down to $6.65? Well, she couldn't do that because corporate would have a kitten, and then they'd come down on the people who are working for minimum wage at goddamn Dairy Queen, and bring out the lashes and the thumb screws to find out where that missing penny was. Because, you know, by God, Dairy Queen has shareholders to serve, and this is capitalism, and this is the free market, and it's America, and it would, if you're gonna round the money to save their souls because something's $6.66, you charge them an extra penny for their souls! And once again, I got the, that doesn't bother you, $6.66? No. And I told her again, you know, I think if that God would send my soul to hell for the price of two Orange Juliuses at Dairy Queen, I don't want to hang out with him for all eternity. Because he's pretty arbitrary and capricious, and he might kick my ass out of paradise just any minute. I don't like the way your feathers are arranged, Buster. Go barbecue. Yeesh. My world. Welcome to it. So now I'm convinced that I'm going to do this one more time. There's a lot of Halloween shit still for sale on special markdown, and I'm going to go down and I'm going to find me a Satan mask. Or three. Two, really. We'll take two. Because I noticed, because this stuff begins to fulminate in my mind, or percolate, or ferment, or whatever it does, when I looked at, nope, no cameras back here on the drive-thru. So I'm thinking it'll either be me and Agnes, or it will either be Agnes and I. No, it will be Agnes and me, or else the boy and I, on a trip to Summersville, will go and place that very same order again. Only this time, when we pull around, we'll be wearing Satan masks. And when we hand her our $6.66, we will say, "Hail me! We've come for your soul. All of you. Time to go." Now, what would be even funnier, of course, would be if you could have some fundies pulling through, placing the same order, and meet them at the window with the Satan mask on. Jesus. No wonder this state went Republican. Let's check into the mailbox. A note coming in from Robert in Australia. Poop, no net. Landing on a comet. It's like standing on the back of a truck doing 100 miles an hour and throwing a basketball in a net on another truck going at 100 miles an hour, 10,000 miles away, and having it go through the hoop without touching the net. Cool. I, too, am a child of the space age. As for NASA not being able to do what it once did, many Americans don't believe it did what it did back in the 60s anyway. It's a pity they never built Project Orion. Yeah, no kidding. Steve pointing out, he says, I've been reading some Brian Greene the best I can. And if you really want to screw with people, ask them which universe. Oh, I know. The multiverse. I've been boning up on it to the extent I possibly can. It's the same. It's the same thing that Steve's referring to there. I mean, you jump into that kind of stuff and you read the same paragraph 19 times and you go, not getting any better. Oh, yeah, Robert. Robert in Australia asking, do you still have one-cent coins? Yeah, pennies. Abraham Lincoln on the front, Lincoln Memorial, or a shield, or at some point in time, who knows what on the back. The mint's been screwing around. And they cost more to produce than they're actually worth. Robert says, the federal government here got rid of them 20 years ago. Because they cost too much to keep in circulation. We now have round-up, round-down pricing for cash purchases. 67 cents rounds down to 65, 68 rounds up to 70. It all works out in the end, I think. P.S. Make sure to film the Satan mask purchase. This may be a thing. I may have to do this. Luda writing in, subject line, bars. I used to live on the High Line in Montana that literally had about 100 residents and had a gas station, a church, grain mill, and, of course, a bar. Every one-horse town in Montana had a bar. If it didn't have a bar, it wasn't a town, because the bar was also the post office, restaurant, a few rooms for rent, and et cetera. Jeez, Bob, it's time to move if you don't have a bar. You're telling me. I mean, let's say I get tired of drinking out of the fruit jar through the swirly straw, and I actually want to sit down and have and hear some human voices around me and so forth, and little social contact, that kind of thing. Gone! And the nearest watering hole is a rock solid 10 miles away across the New River Gorge Bridge. And who's going to run that risk? 'Feels like the end of Paint Your Wagon. Subject line, picking up your MRI results. Asa writes in and says, what a waste of precious time and fossil fuels, Bob. Out here, your MRI results are electronically shared with your doctor. Well, see, that's the funny thing, Asa. When I asked her for the record, she didn't say, okay, go down the hall, turn left, go past the screaming woman, turn, make your next left again, and medical records is right there behind the guy, behind the Ebola cleansing station. She didn't do that. I had to fill out the paperwork, showed her that I was who I am, handed the paper back to her, and I figured it'd be, we'll get you taken care of just quick as we can, go have a seat and watch Fox News over in the waiting area, but no! I handed her the paper, and she handed me the disc. Because it was right there on the receptionist's computer at the front desk of Summersville Regional Memorial Medical Center Hospital and Veterinary Clinic. That's being ruined by Obamacare by receiving oodles and oodles and oodles and oodles of federal money. A lot of the people who work at that hospital voted to have taken away from the place that employs them. What's the universe made of? It's made of stupid. No, I didn't go away. I'm just trying to get something to work here. a lot of us communicate, a lot of people communicate with me via Skype during the program, and you may notice that I'm not signed in. That's because for some reason or another, on the computer that runs the Skype, there's no interweb tubes. Because we had to run a Microsoft update, and the Microsoft update apparently forgot my login. Go figure. Right back. Oh, praise Jeebus, hallelujah. The Skype is fired up. Yeah, there is that part of it, Horst with a note. Do you really want to screw with those poor minimum wage workers at the DQ? Imagine how much crap they must put up with from the superstitious yokels all day long over this very issue. Those are the people deserving to have their comfort zone violated, not the hapless workers just trying to get through their day and pay their rent with a minimum of weirdness. Sounds to me like the DQ workers themselves have been pretty cool about the whole thing. They have. And I'm not one trying to be mean to them. I thought it might be a little bit funny. Bless her heart, Agnes is so... she has such a deep-seated sense of propriety. I was... while we were waiting for the Julius's to be delivered today, I said, I'm going to give her a good Hail Satan on the way out. Agnes looked at me and said, you will not. Oh, honey. Don't you do it. Oh, I don't know. We can have a contest, Robert. You want to call in and tell me how much you hate Hoppy Kirchival? Robert in Morgantown says, gee, Bob, you can't possibly hate Hoppy Kirchival as much as I do. I don't know. I've been listening to that idiot for a long time. So that's where we find ourselves. And by the way, we've got a lot more to go into this evening. Irish Dave pointing out, you know, Bob, at the Sodom Dairy Queen, that's 669. Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, come on, Horst. It's obviously a rubber mask. They'd laugh if I rolled around. Hail Satan, I'll take my orange Julius now. All your souls belong to us. So I just thought I would share a little slice of life from my existence. Because it is not exciting around here. It's not the hive of adrenaline-fueled frenzy that, say, living in downtown Manhattan or downtown San Francisco or, as we learned last night, trying to drive to work in L.A. can be. But even in the quietest moments, when you live in a place that is absolutely infested by ignorance and superstition, there are laughs to be had. Laughs, indeed. But of course, here at 14 minutes before the hour, you may think that I've forgotten what day it is. I'm sorry, Kate. I'm very, very sorry. Kate just dropped an email along the way about 30 minutes ago. Subject line, this is so much better than the preacher. Keep the rock rolling. Sorry. Because I do indeed recognize that this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And we got prayer meeting. We got souls to save. Yes, we do. So, brethren and sistren, having gone ahead and done a little witnessing of my own here about the satanic DQ that's selling orange Juliuses for $6.66, the number of the beast, and people will no longer be able to buy food and their groceries and their bullets, because that's what happens when you get the mark of the beast. You can't participate in the economy no more. No, really, really, go read Revelations. Go read the second century of the common era. Go read that era's, that century's version of Dark Side of the Moon or Naked Lunch. It's more Naked Lunch than Dark Side of the Moon. And you find out that once you've received the number of the beast, you can no longer buy stuff. But really, economic theory. The devil is more interested in it. Yes. Anyway. So, no. Obviously, I missed prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner down in the fellowship hall and had to make do with the orange Julius. But the deacons did trundle their way upstairs to stand out in the parking lot at 35 degrees, smoking with the sinners. When you got the nicotine, Jones, you'll put up with a lot. But we've driven them through, brethren and sisters. We've driven them out of the parking lot. We've driven them through the vestibule, past the 20-year-old bowl of desiccated buttermints, down the center aisle. We got them seated there for a little while they were digesting while I was talking about the Orange Julius experience. But now, brethren and sisters, they are up and they are about. Hallelujah, glory, amen. Ha, yes. They are moving around. They got the plates. They're going to be standing at the sides of the aisles with the plates, passing the plates, brethren and sisters. And the plates is how we keep the cathedral going. So please remember, we're trying to raise $75 this evening, brethren and sisters, just to keep the lights on here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, because you can't always count on the Almighty to help you out with the more existential things having to do with running a worship service, either via the PayPal interface or by the U.S. Postal Service. Either way is just fine if you want to help us keep this all going. So, brethren and sisters, as they're passing amongst the aisles, and passing amongst you with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sisters, I'm going to call up our minister of music for our offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would please, on this here prayer meeting Wednesday.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around! And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ting tang, walla walla bing bang. I love you. Oh, welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I'm telling you, we got a glorious, glorious, glorious examination of faith in action. Oh, we got something special coming here just in a little bit. Going to absolutely stir your soul. I promise you it will. Oh, how glory. Yes, indeed. I tell you what, brethren and sistren, I'm calling upon you to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and out into the aisle and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands, hot glory, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on hot. On high. Amen and amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters. And yes, Prayer Meeting Wednesday is alive and a-kicking on the horn. Yes, amen and amen.
Thy mother mated with a scorpion.
Be patient with him, God.
Oh, I tell you what, brethren and sisters, we've had the beginnings of our prayer meeting miracle. All we have. Brother Asa got us started this evening. We only got $55 to go to meet Brother Scott in Sweden's. Have a show on me challenge. Amen, we do. Brethren and sisters, I have stirring tales of faith for you. We go now, and I wished I knew where this was. We go now, brethren and sisters, to a revival meeting, a faith healing meeting, where the demons is a being cast out. And there's all kinds of demons. Oh, they are. Now, before we go there, I thought you might like to know that Brother Marcus Bachman, husband of 1L Michelle, is right upset. It was just Monday when Brother Marcus went on a radio program called Understanding the Times. Now, you may remember that Marcus Bachman, in addition to being an expert consumer of Minnesota State Fair and Iowa Stand State Fair corn dogs, glory, he is also a psychologist who is frequently a practitioner of the ex-gay therapy. Here's what he had to say about that healing therapy that he delivers for just a small pittance per hour.
I keep nodding my head thinking, how is a Christian counseling agency is being pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage controversial? I do think it's been intertwined with my wife taking a stand and being the author in the Minnesota State Senate for the marriage amendment, marriage between a man and a woman, promoting that pro-life, pro-marriage stand in Congress. And it's as if that was the unforgivable sin from the left. I think it's been misconstrued. I think our agency has been unfortunate. There have been myths made up that we are people that coerce and pressure and manipulate people. It's the last thing that we would do. We are people of ethics. People will choose. They will ultimately choose what they're going to do with their life. I do think it's a responsibility of ours, whether we're a politician or whether we're a professional counselor, is to speak truth.
So no one comes in there and is battered by scripture, or, you know, the Bible's not used as any kind of a weapon. They come in there to talk.
That's right.
And you
battered by scripture, brethren and sisters. The question occurs, is it beer batter or is... Is it that Eastern heathen Oriental batter and that temptation pura? That's what we got to know, because that's another thing we have to discuss this here evening in prayer meeting.
Work through things with them. It's their choice to be there.
That's right.
It's their choice how things proceed.
That's right.
In the counseling session. So this is not having anything to do with coercion, and yet that is what is being presented in the media.
Well, the interesting thing is, I really believe that there have been a number of people of faith that have come in to our clinic and have battled with all sorts of issues, but some in particular with same-sex attraction. And once the far left understood that we were actually creating a safe place, a place where people who said, I have this issue with same-sex attraction, this desire, I'm a believer, I'm a person of faith, and it's conflicting with my value systems. See, anyone who would walk alongside and then encourage that person's value systems and their beliefs and bring that in alignment, that is like blasphemous to the other side.
Oh, yes.
How? The other side doesn't have blasphemy, dumbass. You're in the blasphemy department. Anybody want to take that little clip there where he says, I have, blah, 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 and then, never mind.
How dare you even consider being involved in someone who has decided or is desiring that to influence in any way, shape, or form another side of the book on this one? I keep nodding my head.
You keep nodding, Marcus. But see, that's not what happens. There are plenty of people out there who have been subjected to ex-gay therapy. And no, there aren't a whole lot of people showing up at psychologists' offices saying, I want to be a good Bible-believing Christian. But, well, then again, I don't know. Maybe there are, because, like I said, we got to check in via the website World Star Hip Hop. Got to check in with a Hallelujah Glory Healing meeting, evangelical style. And see how a faith healer handles getting over to gay. Because, like I said, there's all kinds of demons, and some of them operate at 138 beats per minute and carry things with glitter and involve disco balls. We go now to the revival meeting. Yes.
Break every yoke! Break every yoke! He's delivering you now.
Whatever it is you need God to do, he just told you it's done right now. What did you come here for? What did you come down here for? Tell me.
To get delivered more.
Get delivered. Do you believe
more
that the Lord tonight has set you free?
Yes, sir.
Turn around and tell those people.
Tell them.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women, 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 women. I said women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not tear a purse. I would not put on makeup. I will love a woman.
Now, listen to what... Y'all praise God with him. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold just 1 minute. Now, either you're going to believe this stuff or you ought to stop preaching it.
Can't argue with him there, but what a house band, man.
If you can't praise God with him, you're an unbeliever. Now, somebody believe God with him.
I'm believing.
Hey!
Now, because we're dealing with video and we're not and this is a radio show, I'm going to have to do a little play-by-play here. Having just announced that he was not going to be dating no more men, men then come up and begin dancing with him. Just saying.
We don't just preach condemnation. We preach reconciliation.
There's another guy.
I got a problem,
really?
Though.
We call those dresses.
It still looks like he's alone.
Oh, can't
and
have
whether
that.
You know it or not, the devil ain't going to leave him alone. I wish I have some shown up believers that'll come down here and dance with him and tell him you can do it.
And here come the men. I want this album. That's right, Lance Rocks. This is a hot band.
Listen, I know we got to go, but check it out. I just
and all the men are now dancing together.
There was about 50 others of you that needed some kind of deliverance.
Yeah.
But you were afraid that you were going to be labeled. Now, since we don't know what's going on, I dare you to run down here.
I know what's going on, brother. There's a whole bunch of men down front dancing with each other after dude said he wasn't going to be gay anymore. That's right. Kenergenics drummer is really kicking it in the butt. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I wish our buddy, brother Lee Potter was listening tonight, because, I mean, this guy is laying down some licks.
And say, do it for me, Jesus. Hurry up!
Some of the ladies in the House of Whoville hats have arrived.
Hallelujah. Oh.
Still mostly men, though.
Glory. Glory.
This is better than the dance scene from Zorba the Greek.
Jesus, deliver tonight. Loose the captive tonight. Set them free tonight. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Give power. Nobody if you ain't free.
Don't come down there and lay hands on anybody if you ain't gay, but never mind. Man, I got a sweat going on. I need a prayer hanky or something. We didn't ever have anything like this in the Baptist church where I grew up. Oh! Mm. I'd pay money in a bar for that band.
Don't mess up this stuff in here. You back up if you ain't got nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, bring him back here.
Turn him around to me.
Oh, my goodness. Man, we got to find out if he's still not gay.
Young man, you can live for God. Okay? You've been set free. Satan, the devil, is a lie. Okay?
That's the first true thing he said. Satan, the devil, is a lie. He's not only a lie, which implies he's false, he's fiction. He's not real. The only devil is the human devil. The propensity for wickedness that exists in every human being, and which many of us are occasionally successful, more or less, at not being. The devil is a lie.
We love you, son. You understand that? We love you. You can live for God. Don't be afraid. You trust God. Your past is just that, behind you. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching for what's in front of me. Can I tell you something? Better is in front of you. When I tell you, I want you to run down towards that camera and tell them, I got a brand new life. Run right now. Run, run, because it's in front of you. Glory to God. Somebody shout, better, better, better. He's a brand new creature. You're a brand new creature. You have a job. You work. You don't work. How old are you? 21. You're in school? You're in school. What are you studying to be? A doctor. Let me tell you. Huh? You're an author. You publish how many books? 14 books. I'm going to tell you something. God said he's going to bless you because of your commitment. Just to prove it, he just told me to give you $100.
Wait, what? Wow. Hold on here.
A doctor. Let me tell you. Huh? You're an author. You publish how many books? 14 books. I'm going to tell you something. God said he's going to bless you because of your commitment. Just to prove it, he just told me to give you $100. He says money is coming your way because of your newfound commitment. The man of God said if you didn't change, you'd be cursed. But whenever you tell God yes, you're going to be blessed. Are you understanding that? Somebody pray. Somebody else just put money in his hand. Lord Jesus, what's going on in here tonight? People are blessing you. You understand that? Because you don't have to serve the devil. When you serve God, God said, I'll take care of you. Now you do it with boldness.
Yeah, you do it with boldness. Whew! Man, that is some halcyon praise. I'm telling you. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true, Irish Dave. Church dinner and church dancing seems like a heavenly mandate to me. Mandate. Get it? See? Yeah. Back to the DQ story. Irish Dave says, there you go again, Bob, overestimating the discernment powers of window clerks. By the way, when Microsoft updates Homo Devil machines in Canada, users are instructed to re-aboot. Yeah, funny. Okay. Yeah, it has a good beat, and the kids could dance to it. I give it a 666. Dick. Oh, and a note coming in from Diane in Kansastan. Note of coherence from Kansastan. Hi, Bob. Hi, Diane. I am proctoring an ethics test for my graduate students while listening to your program on TuneIn Radio right now. Something about that smacks of coherence. So glad Sandra called in last night at long last. Signed, Diane, coherently proctoring in Kansastan. That's kind of a late evening exam, isn't it? Wow. I didn't know they examined through the dinner hour in Kansas. I thought there might be a commandment against that or something. Oh, mercy. I'm still all wound up. That was some awesomeness. That house band could go places. Oh, let's see. Let's check in, because we haven't in a while, with that proud son of Stanford University, Brian Fisher. Apparently, he takes his clues and cues. I think cues, because I don't think he has any clues. That would make him clueless. And, well, but my God, he has perfect hair. I mean, he has hair almost, I don't know. It's a tight race between him and Joe Manchin for perfect right-wing hair. But Ted Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future king of America, said the other day that net neutrality, and, you know, those of us who are rather dependent upon the internet, we pay attention to this issue. Now stop it, you people. Over in the chat room, Texas T. Bob said Proctor. But net neutrality is kind of what guarantees a free and open internet. And that one, in our White House, the Kenyan Muslim socialist usurper, Islamo-fascist communist, said the other day that he wanted the internet to be as free and open as could be, and he didn't want any corporate internet fast lanes. This, of course, because whatever he says, the Republican Party, where Barack Obama is concerned, has moved into this place where they're living a Groucho Marx song. Whatever it is you're for, I'm against it. So if Barack Obama says he doesn't want any internet fast lanes for, say, you know, mega corporations, leaving the rest of us to just sort of try to toddle along at dial-up speed, well, the right wing has to say no. And I guess that's Ted Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future king of America's job, because he then turned around and said that, well, let's see if we can pull this up right quick. Ted Cruz said net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. Remember, Ted Cruz is deemed to be one of the smart ones because someone once upon a time made the horrible, horrible, horrible mistake of admitting this weird right-wing, evangelical, dominionist, Christian Reconstructionist to Harvard. But of course, it's not, you know, I mean, it can't possibly have been an affirmative action admission because, well, you know, he's Ted Cruz. I mean, he's the anointed future king of America, right? Now, Ted Cruz says net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. Enter proud son of Stanford University, Brian Fisher.
President Obama's out there making noises about taking over the internet, having the FCC take over the internet. And Ted Cruz rightly called this Obamacare for the Internet. Now, the Internet has done just fine without any government intrusion, government regulation, government telling people how much they can charge for Internet.
Did you wait. Hold up there, Brian. The Internet, I want to make sure I got that right.
Ted Cruz rightly called this Obamacare for the Internet. Now, the Internet has done just fine without any government intrusion, government regulation, government telling people how much they can charge for Internet services.
Except for the fact that the Internet only exists because of government intrusion, government regulation, government legislation, and government, oh dear God.
The internet has done just fine.
Except it wouldn't exist, Brian, you putrid, stinking, right-wing, hypocritical POS, had the government not created it under the Defense Department in the first place. Had lots and lots and millions and maybe billions of American taxpayer dollars not gone into the creation of the internet. But see, that just doesn't exist in his world. Because if he doesn't like it, then no, the internet is entirely a creation of free market, Ayn Rand, Bible-based economics.
It's just a classic case of free enterprise, capitalism.
Told you!
People that can offer the best service for the best price, their businesses thrive.
Oh. How many people within the sound of my voice? Email, of course, is bobkincaid@gmail.com. On Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Twitter, @BobKincaid. BobKincaid. 10 years, and I'm still having to spell my name. BobKincaid. Bob Kincaid on Facebook. Reach out any way you want to. How many people live in a market where you've got 5 or 6 different choices of internet service providers? I'm not going to get a lot of emails saying, "Well, I do, Bob." Mm-mm. No, because it's well, if we had a government that actually wanted to enforce things like the Sherman Antitrust Act, it might be a decent use of that piece of legislation, the internet, because most people for internet have a choice between. Well, it's a Hobson's choice. You can have the lame horse by the door or no horse at all. I'm guessing Brian Fisher has no idea what the everyday, ordinary, garden variety household internet speeds are in, say, South Korea. They're humongous. Yeah, Carol Baker pointing out, I live in a market where there is exactly one choice from 2 tin cans and a string telecom. Yeah, same. But this man is, of course, a Christian, and therefore he is a liar. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, Brian is out of touch in so many ways. I've got two. We're not Verizon, a.k.a. Fairpoint, and that monster Comcast. Yeah, that's not exactly the free market boiling over with the movement of the unseen hand or whatever.
You don't offer good service, you go out of business, you're overpriced, you go out of business.
No, you don't. You keep cutting services and charge more for them. And you stay in business because there's nobody out there to compete with you.
I mean, it's a classic case of capitalism, free enterprise, just time to keep the government's hands off the internet, and that's what Ted Cruz says. It's Obamacare, what President Obama wants to do. And it has to do with the ability of providers to give people faster access to the internet. Now,
no, it doesn't. No. Wait, according to this clown, getting rid of net neutrality would mean that you can get faster internet. Well, maybe if you're the Koch brothers and have millions to spend on bandwidth. But no.
Net neutrality says no. The government's got to keep internet providers from being able to do that. We can't let internet providers give people who are willing to pay more money faster speeds on the internet.
Bullshit. If you're with, say, Chantel over in Beckley or Charleston or other places where they, you can get crappy internet for a whole lot of money. You can get slightly less crappy internet for a whole lot more money. for a really lot of money, you can get almost not crappy internet. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Jeremy in Vermont following up. Jeremy says, in South Korea, you can download a Blu-ray size file in 10 seconds. Here it takes upwards of 10 minutes, and that's worth Comcast blazing, and that's worth Comcast blazingly slow, fast speeds, you know, 25 megabytes per second, or so they claim. Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. You know, we learned some hard lessons about cable internet here. It is essentially a party line. When everybody comes home from work, long about the time this program's starting, internet speed goes away. Because everybody's come home from work, and they're jumping on to it. Right. Oh, continue, intellectual giant of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan.
We can't charge people less if they're willing to accept slower speeds on the Internet. We've got to have the government in there regulating it, Obamacare, for the Internet. Ted Cruz is right about that.
And you, sir, are an idiot. So let's get the phone lines cranked up. Of course, you know the numbers, I presume. 304-574-8178 or the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Yes, Irish Dave. The government should keep their hands off my cocks. You got it. Diane with a follow-up. The class doesn't start that late, Bob. It starts at 5:30 p.m., and I'm on Central Time. That said, it's a small graduate class, highly interactive except for test night, and I encourage my students to bring something to eat to class. Signed, Diane in Kansas, Stan, questing for coherence. Well, see, you just made things more coherent right there. Regarding my one-sided exchange with Brian Fisher. Irish Dave says, why am I reminded of Dan Aykroyd addressing Jane Curtin as, Jane, you ignorant slut? Well, I try not to use the S word. So anyway, jump in on the phone lines, 304-574-8178 for this prayer meeting Wednesday. We still got more stuff to do. Or 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N, 304-663-4676. Let us go to yonder Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
I swear, Bob, sometimes I swear the president should come out in favor of breathing. They all hold their breath until they kill over.
Well, Sergi, you know, that's the problem with holding your breath, though. It won't kill you.
Well, it'll kill you if you hold it long enough.
No. He needs to. Wait. No, you can't because you pass out and then you start breathing again. But the president should come out, Barack Obama should come out opposed to breathing oxygen.
Oh, yeah, and then they'd all try to breathe helium.
No, I've been arguing this for a long time, and doggone it, Barack, you're just not listening to the program often enough. He needs to reinvigorate the manned space program, pursuant to what I was talking about earlier, and we need to offer homesteading to Republicans on Mars. Because they deny climate change. Mars has such atmosphere as it has. Mars has a CO2 atmosphere. Granted, it doesn't have a magnetic field, and that's a big problem. But we can let them go to Mars and breathe CO2 to their heart's content because it's good for them, they believe.
Oh, yeah, CO2 is green, just like their money.
You betcha.
But anyway, the reason I'm calling is because I wanted to shed some light, okay, on these churches. These, you know, crazy churches that happen to be black churches, because I grew up in several. And this kind of stuff is par for the course. I mean, you know, this whole thing has went viral, and people are saying, I can't believe there's churches that operate this way. I'm just saying some of the comments I've seen on the internet and such like that, you know, earlier today. Yesterday, and it's like this is actually quite common in black churches. I will never forget. There is this one day at, it was a church called Saints Chapel. And, you know, here in Fort Worthless, there's, when it comes to, you know, black neighborhoods, the density of churches is much higher in black neighborhoods than in, you know, Hispanic or Asian or white ones because of one simple fact. You have a bunch of, you know, there's plenty of things that have gone wrong with black culture, and one of the things among them is these, you know, I don't know if they would say the young, a lot of them are already middle-aged or older by this time, but they look at the TV and they see T.D. Jakes and they see how well he does, and they're like, I want to be like T.D. Jakes, and I want to have the fancy cars and the I want to live the high-rolling preacher's life. And so, you know, you got, you know, every wannabe pastor and his brother starting, you know, Holy Roller in the Forest, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal Seminary of something or other. And so, you know, it's almost surreal. Almost literally, almost every corner, there's these little church buildings that most of them aren't bigger than the average, you know, living room kitchen, you know, in an average house. They're just these little holes in the wall, and all these preachers fancy themselves. You know, at most, these churches have, what, 10, 15, 20, 25 members each. The bigger ones, they have 100. And in all of these, it's very common to have what is called, there's actually several terms for it. The term goes is, you know, praise time. And that's when you're supposed to get on your feet and dance. And, you know, it's almost like you're at the club, but it's church. And there is this one time. And, you know, what they do is they combine that stuff with crazy aspects of Christianity. Because I'll never forget, Saints Chapel is one such little church, although it was, what, about 50 members, 55. And my aunt took me there, you know, for a while. And one particular Sunday, this one woman at the church fell down out of the pew, and her eyes rolled back at her head. And rather than, you know, call an ambulance out, the drums started beating, and the piano player started playing, and everybody was dancing around trying to do an exorcism on her. And then Turned out she had a real medical emergency, but they thought it was a demon that infested her. And they spent the better part of 3.5 hours trying to exorcise a demon. And I'm just a little kid at the time. I'm just sitting there wondering, what is all this? And eventually they gathered up all the kids and, you know, they had sent us to the dining room. And, you know, and it's like, meanwhile, the drums started beating. I fell asleep on the dining room table, in one of the dining room tables in there. Woke up and they were still going.
Well, this clip that I was running, Sergi, had an aspect to it I had never seen before, and there's not much I haven't. When they got the guy who was no longer gay down there, and you know how much of this is a setup, no way to tell or what, but they got the young guy back down there, and you know, that's the part where he's asking him, you know, do you work? Do you go to school? You're going to be a doctor. You've written 14 books. He's 21 years old. And he's not gay no more. And the preacher hands him $100. And then somebody else hands him $100. I have never seen that aspect of the hustle before.
Well, I have plenty of times. And I actually...
No, really?
During my days...
Quit it.
During my days in that church, thankfully I've went to the United Church of Christ now, which is a little more sane, but, you know, it's like a little more sane. That's the understatement of the year. But yes, what would happen is they would quote unquote deliver people from all sorts of laundry lists of things. It's like, oh, I would deliver you from smoking pot, deliver you from homosexuality, deliver you from S, deliver, deliver, deliver. And I would say about 25% of the time, and it's like, now, God is glad to see that you're resisting the devil. And he told me to give you $50 or $20 or $70, and that actually would happen. Sometimes straight out of the collection plate.
That's beautiful.
Bob, I wanted to bring your attention to. Have you
But wait. Before we do that, now these small time affairs, they don't have kick ass house bands like they did they?
Well, pretty much every one of them manages to have a drum set, a keyboard, and a piano, and that's enough. That's enough to make, you know, to make the house rock, you know. And you got all these people that are really, really talented musicians. And, oh, and speaking to someone who is, you know, infected with the demon that they tried to cast out of that guy,
yeah.
I know firsthand, you want to know where the fruits are in black churches? Look in the music department.
Let's not use the epithets.
I'm just saying, Bob, that's a personal experience. I've actually had encounters with members of, and they've always been from the music department of their respective churches. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm deep in the closet. I might get kicked out if they help me out.
Well, the first thing I did with this clip when I saw it this morning, I immediately emailed it to our Department of Gay Agenda, namely, I sent it off to Peter Godbold, and I immediately got a response back saying, I'm struck speechless, Bob. I'm just speechless. Because Peter is very active in his church, and he does like all the audio visual for them. And has had a long. He's been really good for that Methodist church there in Florida, because he's opened their eyes. You may have heard him. I think it was during our birthday broadcast a few Fridays back, when he was talking about challenging the guy who came evangelizing through talking about the gay and gay marriage and going to destroy America. Well, Peter's not having any of that anymore. He just looked at him and said, there you go again, fundraising on my back.
Yeah, there's this morning comedian, black comedian who comes on. He's syndicated across a bunch of radio stations. His name's Ricky Smiley, and he does this absolutely wonderful impression. He basically satirizes the way black churches operate. He does it both on the show itself, and he also does, you know, stand-up acts that you can go see some. He said he goes on tour with them. And his character is, you know, when he's doing it, you know, in person, he dons this, you know, 90-year, he makes himself out to look like a 94-year-old church lady named Sister Bernice Jenkins. And he goes up and he does church announcements, because for anybody who knows much about black churches, the church announcements tend to sometimes last longer than the sermon itself, because it turns into this community forum type thing where everybody's gossiping and yak, 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 and what's going on here and what's going on there. You know, there's this old joke from the 80s here in Fort Worth that, you know, if you wanted to spread a rumor, you know, go to a church in Handy, and it'll spread torrentially in an hour. You know,
right.
And he basically does. You know, for anybody interested, type in YouTube. You know, Ricky Smiley's Sister Bernice Jenkins, and I guarantee you, you'll get a good laugh out of it, because he does satirize the black church quite masterfully. Now, he is a Christian, but he does. You know, he's not one of the crazy ones, so he, you know, kind of highlights the, you know, the more ridiculous aspects of it. So that's the other thing I wanted. But, yeah, I mean, I you know, just speaking to someone who has experience with it, I mean, listening to you play that clip it really did make me remember that incident back at St. Shem, because this woman had her, I forget what exactly it was, but it was a real medical emergency. You know, that warranted calling an ambulance. And They thought it was a demon that needed exercising, Plumber.
Well, they are all over the place, Sergi. They are.
And if you want, Bob, I can send you a short clip, link, YouTube thingy, you know, just a little sample to play, you know, later on the show this evening, just, you know, to get...
Or if not this evening, we'll save it for another prayer meeting.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, something for, you know, a little sampler to get people... Because, I mean, he really does, he's the best satirist out there of this topic. It's crazy. I mean, you think the Southern Baptists are crazy, you know. They ain't got nothing on Pentecostal types.
Oh, no, no. Well, the thing that what's dangerous about the Southern Baptists is they try to come across all respectable-like.
How so?
Well, the Southern Baptists want to be seen as being, like, normal. And then there you are thinking you're dealing with a normal human being. And before long, they're talking about Obamacare, demonism, and, destroying gay marriage, destroying family values and shit like that. And by then, it's too late. They're through the door. They're in your government, and, well, you're screwed. I mean, I got a story this evening, and I've got several responses about it on Facebook. Out in New Mexico... And you know, recently they lost good government. The New Mexico legislature became Republican, and so consequently, the little weirdos are already running out of the woodwork. And let me get this right. First of all, we have to decide if we are now going to refer to New Mexico as New Mexabama, New Mexistan, New Mississippi, or New Mexahoma. It appears, Sergi, that the running consensus is that since it's right next to Arisipi, then we need to be at New Mexabama. So there's this real estate broker who is a member of the New Mexico legislature and part of the new majority. And they were having some committee, and the legislature hasn't even flipped yet. But they were having an interim meeting, you know, I don't know about Texas, because they got a meets only once every 2 years legislature. But other state legislatures have these things called interims. I know we have them here in West Virginia. In between the sessions, committees will get together and deal with issues, take testimony, that kind of stuff, because there's a fairly short amount of time during the actual term that they have to waste on stupid stuff, you know, war on coal and so forth. But anyway, they were having an interim meeting in New Mexico about wellness and childhood obesity, okay?
Uh-oh.
Now, how can you possibly have an issue with that and have even one functioning brain cell that isn't in your amygdala? Well, somebody did. His name is Representin' Baldonado, and he I guess he's from somewhere in the Santa Fe area. And a PE teacher from one of the schools, you know, phys ed, in the course of talking about childhood wellness and childhood obesity and childhood diabetes and, you know, because we don't want children to be obese. We don't want children to be having, you know, type 2 diabetes, and we'd like for them to have wellness, right? I mean, all good?
Yeah.
So the gym teacher is saying, now, when we're exercising, before we start exercising, it's very important to get your muscles all warmed up, so we do some stretching on the mat. Now, I just call it stretching time or mat time. I don't call it yoga because I don't want anybody getting upset. Well, up jumps Representin' Baldonado, and he says, well, what I want to know is, are parents given a choice to opt out of this yoga? Because, you know, that comes directly from them Eastern religions, the Hindus and the Buddhists. And in my Christian, God-fearing, up-centered, Bible-believing family, we don't expose our children to such things as that. I mean, we homeschool our children, but they're on a swim team. But at swimming time, when they start to get their mats out and do their yoga, we say, no, we're Christians, and our children ain't going to do no yoga. I kid you not.
Good Lord. I'm really surprised that he, you know, I was, when you mentioned the mats, I was thinking, oh, he's going to go the yoga is gay route, but that's just as bad.
No, it's demon filled. And 1 minute, you know, one minute your little precious lumpkin's doing the salutation to the sun, and the next thing they're offering peanuts to the elephant god.
What I want to know is, does this guy put up a Christmas tree? Because, you know, that's a pagan symbol.
No, just stop that. Kirk Cameron done sorted that out for us. I got him right here. Kirk Cameron has said that people shouldn't drink the Kool-Aid about Christmas. And anybody who says that Christmas comes from ancient pagan celebrations of the winter solstice, well, that's just Kool-Aid. And Christianity had its origins all by its lonesome, and they didn't co-opt anybody else's holidays, and 'cause we know it. 'Cause Kirk Cameron's got him a new movie out. You know, it's that time of year again, Sergi. It's beginning to look a lot like War on Christmas. Everywhere you turn. Ugh. I'm making Saving Christmas because I love Christmas. I love everything about it. I'm a sucker for all of it. And, of course, the nativity, and there's a lot of people who really want to put a big wet blanket on the celebration. It starts this time of year. You have people who want to pull down nativity scenes. You have lawsuits showing up in schools that can't have Christmas performances. It has to be winter break or holiday break or sparkle season. That sounds gay, doesn't it? They want to take that out of Christmas so they don't offend people who hate Christmas. And then we have a new group who are telling us convincingly that Christmas is actually a celebration of paganism, which it is.
Not the only holiday really like is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Independence Day is big with me. Kirk Cameron actually makes the argument, Sergi, that December 25th really is the day that the little Palestinian day laborer boy was born. Because miracle. Now, never mind the fact that if you take them as historical and not hagiographic, and you read the accounts in the Gospels of the time of year, because, see, even in Palestine, shepherds are not watching their flocks by night at the winter solstice. They're, because the flocks would freeze to death. Okay? He also says that Christmas trees, because, and I thought of this because you mentioned Christmas trees. Carol Baker turned me onto this a little bit before airtime, and I was like, bah! He even says Christmas trees have their origin in Christianity.
And how does he manage to get to that? I mean, that has to involve stretching logic clean across football.
Well, okay, so here's, and this is all from an interview with, like, Christian Post or something. I want people to walk out of the theater and, first of all, have heard the gospel, the good news that God came to remove our sins, died, was buried, and overcame the grave. Okay, that was buried part? He wasn't buried. Even his own daggum book says he wasn't buried. They threw him in a hole, in a cave, and rolled a rock in front of it. It's not like there was some sexton out there with a shovel reaching down and picking up a skull and said, alas, poor Lemuel, I knew him well. Because that's what you did in the death culture back then. You took down the dead guy, and the crucifixion of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, was special because Crucifixion was reserved for people who had committed treason against the state. You take him down, and you have to bind up his wounds, and you have to wrap him all up and cover him in a shroud, and then you have to go and take your special bath so God will still like you, because if you touched a dead person, God doesn't like you anymore. And then they throw him in the hole to rot for a while. And the purpose of that is just to keep from bodies from laying around rotting. But in the cultural tradition of that time, after he's done rotting and there's nothing left but bones, then you take his bones and you put them in a stone box called an ossuary. And you stick the ossuary somewhere, you know, over there under the Sears and Roebuck catalog or whatever, and you write on it, you know, this here was Jesus. But that's how they handled it. They didn't dig graves. They didn't have enough room. The Romans themselves were into cremation. The Appian Way out of Rome was lined with memorial mausolea that, you know, they weren't big enough for a body, but generation after generation could open a drawer and slide in the ashes and you're done. But no, Kirk Cameron says that there was a grave to overcome where he was buried. Now, the cave, I guess, can be a cave, but you can't bury Jesus, you see what I'm getting at. I hope people will walk out of there and throw both arms around their Christmas tree and both arms around the gifts and their children and the feasting and say, Christmas is all about Christ. We want to dive headfirst in telling the whole world this story of God and His kingdom and how they've been invited to join it. What an idiot. I mean, this doesn't even line up with Christian theology, Sergey.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, the Swiss cheese that even began to describe it, you know. And, you know, going back earlier to your very start of your program about the $6.66 thing, yeah, I've had my total come to that at Jack in the Box before. And the cashier said, do you want me to adjust the price or do you want some other, you know, to get the thing off $6.66? And I said, no, ma'am, because, you know, God, you know, if he really is as, you know, loving and, you know, there, as, you know, people claim, he ain't going to let me burn in hell over no fast food order.
That's the point. I mean, you know, we got a lottery here in West Virginia, and if I was a gambling man, I'd play my 50-cent daily three every day on 666. You know why? Because none of these people will play that number. That, and since it's done paramutually and everything, if you hit the son of a bitch, you've got to share. But if, you know, I hit 666, it's going to all be mine. Because the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the... I'm not playing that number. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be worth my immortal soul to win $3,000 on that.
If there's one good thing to come out of that, you know, whole number of the beast nonsense, is that it's, you know, everyone that knows me and, you knows that I'm a huge gamer. And so there's actually a gag in many, many, many different video games that, you know, evil characters in games, you know, it's a running joke that ever since the dawn of, you know, video games, that evil characters will often be given, you know, a hit point number that's all six. You know, like, for instance, Magus and Chrono Trigger had 6,666 hit points.
Did that make him hard to take down?
At that point in the game, yes. He's like a, what, early, mid-level kind of, you know, game person, so game boss. He's hard to beat at that time, but, you know, fun thing is, if you defeat him, you can either choose to you know, stick a knife at him and kill him for good, or spare him, and he'll join you.
Nice. This is just... I don't know. What's your vote, Sergio? Should I go out and find the bargain basement Satan mask for my next Orange Julius order? Because, see, here's the other funny thing. Back when Orange Julius was a standalone place in the mall, and they had great hot dogs. They really did. You know, you and I share a love of junk food. They had great hot dogs. You know, for a corporate hot dog chain. Yeah. Well, their Orange Julius, their logo was a little devil. Because I think I think their motto was it's devilishly delicious or sinfully good or you know, and that's probably why they're out of business.
There's actually a chain down here that does really good. Their taco place is called Torchy's Tacos, and their mascot and logo is this little it's a little red devil with a pitchfork with flames shooting up all around him is their logo. And I'm surprised the religious people didn't pitch a fit when those places first opened.
Oh, somebody's out there praying for them, I'm sure.
And, you know, even their slogan is like, damn good tacos. And let me tell you, those are damn good tacos.
Oh, I can't get a good taco around here.
But, I mean, like me.
You're killing me.
The fun thing is, they my favorite thing to order off their menu, they literally make a fried chicken taco. It is a fried chicken taco with your vegetables and your sauces and such like that. Oh, goodness. I think I may know where I'm going to go after the show.
Oh, God, get one from, you know, do this in remembrance of me. I could use, oh, that sounds so good. I mean, good salsa and stuff.
Oh, yes. What I like to do is, because, you know, I love cheese, praise cheese. I like to dip it in, I like to get, you know, a side of the queso, the cheese dip, and I'll just lightly dip it in cheese and eat it. It also goes very good with a ranch.
See, I love righteously good salsa. There was a little joint not too far from the AKE headquarters that we used to have in D.C., that just did these magnificent, magnificent tacos and quesadillas, and they had a salsa bar that went with it. Just go over and get, and it ranged everything from peels paint off of old Volkswagens down to so wimpy you could put it in a six-month-old's bottle. And I was always over there on the side that had the noxious paint peeling fumes off of it. Oh, man. One was green and one was red. One was chipotle and the other one was... I don't know. It was green jalapeno, tomatillo. Oh, man. And I would have drunk the stuff through a straw if they'd let me. I'm killing myself here. I'm dying for spicy now. I'm probably going to finish the program and mainline a bottle of Cholula.
What is that?
Oh, it's a hot sauce. It's one of my favorite hot sauces. It comes from Mexico. It's got the little wooden top. Yeah, see, I'm not a big fan of McElhenney's Tabasco brand. I think that's all heat. Although their Chipotle's not bad. But Cholula does a chili garlic and a chili lime, and they're regular, and it's got a nice fire to it, but it's just got this... Because I like the taste of chili peppers. Chili peppers have a flavor, not just heat. And
I never have been too big on spicy myself. Mainly just because, I haven't really been able to get acclimated to it. I'm very sensitive to spicy food. Now, you know, I've told this little story in the late night group before, but, you know, when I was in high school, I had this classmate named Colby, who was half Caucasian, half Hispanic. And his mother was Hispanic, and she did all the cooking. He'd occasionally bring up, you know, food to share with the class, right? And, you know, I would never, because it's like it was really, it tended to always be spicy, so I'd never really partake it. But one day he walks up, with, you know, he went to Sam's Club, and he got all these huge bags of chips and this huge thing of homemade salsa that his mother made.
Oh.
And he walked up to me, and he said, "Now, Serge, I know that you don't really like spicy foods, so... just for you, she did turn down the heat somewhat, so you should be able to handle this." And I blinked for a few seconds. I tried to think. I tried to think. I considered. I said, okay, so I'm only going to live once. I'll give it a try. I got one chip, and I just barely dipped it in. Just a little glaze over the chip. I bit into that chip, and the next thing I know, ding, 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 and I was running out into the hallway. I shot out like a rocket into the hallway to the closest water fountain.
Oh, see, that's the thing. You gotta just get your zen and let the burn come on and let it trigger all of that endorphin response, and all of a sudden it's just bliss, and the sweat's pouring off of you, and you're just a happy camper. They sold. I'm thinking again about back when Dr. Allen had me down there last year. They sell a jalapeno salsa. It's almost like a mustard. At that little, it's called the Czech Stop, CZECH, which is just.
Oh, wow, I love that place.
Which is right by the interstate down there in West. And yeah, the kolachkis are magnificent. But if you go wandering around in the meat aisle, you're going to find all kinds of wonderful stuff. And they've got this jalapeno sauce. I guarded it. I mean, I doled it out in drops after I got it home. Oh, just, Well, you see, I'm rendered wordless.
Yeah, I've had pastries from there before. And, yes, I love their pastries.
And, well, I don't know, maybe sometime. But that, yeah, that stuff is awesome. Just mind-bendingly good. Hey, Sergi, it's been a wonderful conversation. I don't know, you know, just, you know, trust your brothers and sisters in the Horn Family Commune. We will slowly lead you to the true spicy faith. And then doors will open for you.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and give it another shot, especially since I learned from Lottie the proper way to put out a fire.
Well, okay, so there's that, but you know, it's kind of like peyote. You know, you don't want to do it without a good guide. So
yeah.
You know, let Lottie or some of the other spicy fiends lead you gently along. Because I've developed a theory, Sergi. I take one of those pills every day because I have horrible acid reflux, and without it, you know, I'm just a boiling cauldron of stomach acid hell.
Nephium, yeah, I used to have to take that.
Oh no, that's out of plan. So I take pantoprazole now. You know, some sort of off-brand whatever, but it works. But I think in some cases, this is my theory, it works too well. It wipes out so much of the acid in your stomach that I begin craving it. I mean, I'm not kidding you. And this has been going on for years, though. I've mentioned before that my mother, bless her, we grew up next door to a fine Southern family whose son went to the Korean conflict and brought home a wife, a beautiful, beautiful, kind-hearted soul who introduced us way, way, way back when, being next-door neighbors, to all sorts of Asian cooking. And this was just stuff that she took for granted. And so she taught my beloved hillbilly mama how to make kimchi. Now, my mother took to the idea of kimchi like a duck to water because my mother had been canning kraut, you know, as a child. And kimchi is just Korean sauerkraut. And so Kim taught my mother how to make hell's own kimchi. I mean, just redolent of garlic and onions and chili peppers that were just evil. And my mother, when I would go home from college and come back, like for Christmas break or whatever, or when I was leaving from summer to go up for the fall semester or whatever, my mother would give me like two great big gallon pickle jars of kimchi that she'd made. And I would make that last a semester. it's an ass kicking hangover remedy. But just to have a big swig of that blazing spicy kimchi juice, oh, stop it. Oh, it was good. Wow, how did we get into spicy food porn tonight? All the way from, you know, all the way from a Pentecostal holiness house band healing ceremony. But I've been that way.
The magic of conversation radio.
I will, you know, I'll walk in and grab a jar of hot sauce and just chug it sometimes. Just to get the blaze and the tart and the tang and the vinegar and the salt. And oddly enough, my blood pressure's okay, so, you know. And it's healthy, it's natural. Chili peppers are good for you. Lowers your blood pressure. So the salt raises it, the chili lowers it. And it's all holistically balanced.
Well, Bob, I hope you have a good evening.
Well, I'm trying. You've certainly made it better, Sergi, and I appreciate it. And you have yourself a wonderful evening yourself. And avant ye, off to the fried chicken taco.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad to have been a bright spot for you.
Oh, you were, and you always are. Thank you, Sergi. Have a good night. Stay warm. And that, of course, is our buddy Sergi calling from, as he refers to it, Fort Worthless. Okay, we've got it. We've got a message for me and Sergi coming from James on Facebook. What's this? FYI, Bob Kincaid and Sergi Squallwinds, the heat in peppers resides mostly in the seeds. If you scrape the seeds, it cuts way down on the heat. And, of course, the pointier the pepper, the hotter the pepper. I quit trying to prove my manhood. I miss California cooking. San Francisco cuisine is the center of my universe. Oh, I'm not trying to prove anything. I just love it. And see, this is where I get kind of weird. I don't care for habanero peppers. You know, one pepper species is chinensis and the other one's something else. I prefer the something else's. I think there's an off-putting flavor in a habanero. Now, see, like I said, you want a good guide, Sergi. Because here's Ron and Raleigh. Tell Sergi, if you don't sweat, you ain't it. There you go. Ron also pointing out, I've said it before, if it weren't for the gay, there would be no choir directors in any black church. So you've got some validation there, Sergi. Really nice group in the chat room this evening. Anatole is with us, Carol Baker, of course, Devin, Doctor Who's in the house, Dwayne's with us, John, Kathy, Kelly, Kenergenics, Michael, Mr. Gibson, Paul, Sentient Being, Stockton, Larry, and Texas T, and of course, Sparky, and Lottie was there for a while. Did I miss Lottie? Sparky is moderating. It is 4 minutes past the hour. We are still trying to finish off Scott and Sweden's Have a Show on Me challenge. We have $55 to go. Thank you very kindly to Asa for getting us going this evening. Oh, wait, I just realized something. I'm making a horrible mistake. We have $35 to go because two subscriptions rolled in overnight. Thank you, Linda, and thank you, Anthony. Much appreciated. So $35 to go, and we are done with Scott's challenge. And I'm going to count the subscriptions. Lines are open if you want to jump in. You've heard how easy it is. First-time callers survive. Long-time veterans recognize that it's just a conversation across the back fence. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. Once again today, I've forgotten to have the call waiting turned off on the Gizmo line, so put it on tomorrow's list, too, whatever. Either way is fine. Or Skype to Skype is simply Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. That works fine, too. Ron and Raleigh pointing out via email, subject line choices. The competition here in the greatest country in the world is who can charge the most for the least in speed and customer service. I can choose from Time Warner, AT&T, and my provider, Clearwire. And I take it, Ron, that they all uniformly sucketh. But apparently, the message discipline in the right wing is absolutely amazing to behold. Now, I played you Brian Fisher's hissy about net neutrality. Well, here comes FreedomWorks and some person by the name of Iris Somberg. Iris Somberg is opposed to net neutrality, too, because Kenya, right? Clearing up net neutrality.
Hi, I'm Iris Somberg, communications coordinator here at FreedomWorks.
And I have a terrible sinus condition.
There's been a lot of confusion around the net neutrality debate, with the president calling for more strict regulations on internet providers. Let's see if we can clear a few things up.
Yes, do please,
Iris. Supporters of the plan call it a free and open internet, but in reality, it's anything but.
No.
What net neutrality does is force providers to treat all web content equally, the same speeds, the same prices, the same access.
That equality is absolutely unbearable. It's just terrible. It's as awful as my sinuses. Do continue, Iris.
But all web content isn't equal. Netflix is not the same as a high school blog, and YouTube certainly isn't the same as Facebook.
No, definitely.
They serve very different purposes, and they have very different needs. By dictating that all these sites be treated the same, net neutrality makes small companies that don't take up much bandwidth at all pay more, so that
more?
Big companies
they're gonna
can
have
pay
to,
less.
They're going to have to pay more, Iris? That's terrible. That's like Kenyan socialist oppression. This is awful. Somebody stop the piano. Or as Carol says, get her a hanky. Message discipline, Devin pointing out. Democrats have meetings, but Republicans fall in line. Yeah. So we've been having our fun with this poor stopped-up girl. Woman. Sorry. I'm equal opportunity. I'd be making sport of it if it was a guy who was talking like this. I mean, come on. You can't tell me that FreedomWorks doesn't have somebody who could read a script of while the young woman is obviously dealing with sinus issues. These idiots don't even understand what net neutrality is. Let's go back.
Facebook. They serve very different purposes, and they have very different needs. By dictating that all these sites be treated the same, net neutrality makes small companies that don't take up much bandwidth at all pay more, so that big companies can pay less.
That's the exact opposite. It doesn't make small companies pay more and big companies pay less. It makes everybody not even that. But they're playing the and don't you love hearing this coming from the right wing, that somehow Obama is the man putting his jackbooted thuggy Muslim Kenyan jackboot on your neck? Really? Teabaggers supporting the little guy? I don't think so. This is FreedomWorks. Where do they get their money? Don't they have a Coke problem? Now stop it, Devin. You're just being mean. let's let her finish. Poor thing. Maybe she can go and take a Dristan or something in a minute. Contact. Remember Dristan and Contact?
Not the kind of equality the internet needs. Net neutrality is not a level playing field. It's an anti-competitive policy that protects the internet's biggest companies at the expense of everyone else.
From FreedomWorks, clearing up net neutrality, but not clearing up a bad sinus infection. So that's the teabaggers, who are typically teabaggy in their lack of understanding. Next. The recently announced, miraculously healed Glenn Beck.
Let me tell you about net neutrality. Net neutrality is the global warming of the internet.
Oh, I thought it was Obamacare.
They are saying that they need to level the playing field of the internet and make it free. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the freedom of the internet, this world and this country would be screwed right now. The only real growth that we have in the world, and you're seeing it in television and news and information, the only place you're truly free to say whatever you want, to produce whatever you want, to get it out. Man has never had a voice like he has right now, and it's all due to the internet, and due to the fact that the government is not involved in it at all. It's working pretty well.
Isn't saying the government isn't involved in the internet at all kind of like saying the government isn't involved in the interstate highway system, which was begun as the National Military Defense Highway System and still is engineered on principles designed to accommodate the movement of armies around the country? When did the legislation pass that says that the Defense Department has nothing to do with the internet that they got built in the first place? Net neutrality is an attempt not... It ain't the global warming of the internet. And my God, I haven't even gotten to the climate change story yet. It is not about how fast your crappy internet is, because that's already been commercialized all the hell. It's about whether or not massive communications companies can create a prioritized tier system whereby if I want this program to get out, I got to pay more in order. Oh, Jesus, but you know this. See, that's the thing. Right-wing ignorance is the fertile field in which right-wing media sow their weeds. The cranks and the Emrys and the Eileens and the Clydes and the Marvelines who listen to Glenn Beck or Hannity or any of these other freaks got no clue what the internet is. A lot of them are still working on finding the on button on their computers and aren't certain whether or not, when they bought the damn thing, they may have consigned themselves to the fires of hell because the number of the beast has got to be in there somewhere. Under the FCC, as it presently exists, Internet service providers can't throttle people's access based upon content. In other words, where the Beckerhead is concerned, miraculously healed that he's been, if somebody had more money, they couldn't pay for they couldn't eliminate Glenn Beck in a non-neutral internet by simply paying more money. They've got the whole thing entirely backward, but that's not accidental. This is not a boating accident. And thank you, by the way, to Bill. I neglected to mention Bill in our fundraising efforts. Bill actually took us down to 20. And James just took us down to 0. So Scott in Sweden's challenge has been fully met. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Oh, yeah, I know, Steve. Net neutrality. Steve says, it's going to transmit Ebola. Brr. Yeah. Let's go back to the Skype line. Jeremy's with us. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mom.
What's happening?
You know, this whole throttling thing has been done for years now without the addition of content throttling because they can't do that yet. It's Comcast, Verizon, AT&T's, all in their wet dreams to be able to do what they want to do. I mean, I was victim to AT&T's throttling policy back when I had them. I had unlimited service, unlimited data, and I went over what they considered unlimited for the month of the rate you should be using. It was 3 gigabytes. At the time, a little high. Nowadays, not so high. 3 gigabytes goes by like that. But at that point, they would, no matter what day it was, it was the first day or the second day of the month, and you had 28 more days, well, screw you. They turn you down to 56K. You
right.
Still had unlimited data.
And there's nothing.
You had it at,
yeah, you had unlimited data, but you had a tiny, tiny straw to drink it through.
Right. So you could still leave your phone on 24 hours a day if you wanted and suck that data. You could only do it 56K a second, which got you almost nothing other than a slow picture or maybe on a good day, the horn feed. Maybe.
So
but, yeah, they would do that.
And that's just free market capitalism.
Right. And now, from my understanding, I read something into it because I've seen peeps about it. Comcast, who I've mentioned that I suffer with all the time, they are starting a new program. And companies like this are going about it, trying to get people into this mindset that, hey, we can survive like this. So when it happens, you might not feel as pushed, or you have to pay more to get more, essentially. Right now, in a few cities like Philadelphia, I think Vail, a couple different places, Comcast has put a cap on what people can use per month. And I think it was either 350 or 400 gigabytes, something like that, a month. Once you did that, if you went over every, you get another 50 gigabytes for $10 more a month. But in today's data-rich environment, it's very easy to suck down 400 gigabytes. Like I said, it sounds like a lot. It really isn't.
Well, you remember back when everything came to a head with the incompetence at Shentel here?
Yeah.
Well, we went for a short period of time to wireless internet, which was awesome, via a company called US Cellular. And I knew going in that it was throttled internet, not throttled, but it was metered internet. But, you know, we had to keep the program going till I could get something else in place. And that was a $400 month. Because on the metered bandwidth that we had to buy, it was $400 just for bandwidth.
Do do you know who U.S. Cellular's owner is?
No.
AT&T.
Well, why am I not surprised? But it wasn't. But the thing is, it wasn't throttled.
Yes.
And the speeds were 20 down and 10 up.
That's better on my phone those days, just so you don't feel bad.
And so now we've got, now I've backed it back down, and we've got it as a backup. And, you know, you can bounce with them, but it screws up the bill, and you have to spend a lot of time sorting it all out, blah, 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 whatever. But we've got that as a backup, and we've got significantly slower speeds, but unmetered. So we came out of it kind of a wash.
So are you back with Chantel, or do you... Or
oh,
you
no, hell no. No, no, no. I'll quit doing this program before I'll go back with Chantel.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that, because I... So you're still with them, but with a different version of them, basically. Is it a whole different company?
No, I went back to the phone company. I've got a we've got a DSL line here.
Oh, okay. Well, it's dedicated.
Yeah, well, it's my line. It's not a cable company party line.
And that's one of the minor problems. For the way my schedule works, it hasn't always terribly affected me. The average person with Comcast, you share it with your 25 neighbors. So if they all call it at 6, guess what? You're getting a decent feed, but not like you normally would. And it's the same thing with the TV. On-demand service suffers at night when other people are watching. A lot of times, if you try to watch something, even if it's a TBS on-demand, it'll say there's too many people watching at this moment.
See, I think we're still on the, and there's that word again, the scientist I saw last night saying we are on the cusp of planetary discovery. Well, we're also on the cusp of the internet, and the only people who are holding this all back are the capitalists. If this was a government program, if the Postal Service ran the internet, it would be much different. Look at the experiments that have taken place with cities providing internet. Look at what came out of Chattanooga. People have humongous speed.
Well, look at what Google did when they put up a couple of different cities. They're offering things of like a gigabyte a minute or something like that, some outrageous amount, and like 500 TV channels for I think it was $100 a month. Or you go somewhere like France, you get the same thing I have with the 2 gigabyte per minute or whatever service with 300 channels, and you pay $23 a month for all of it.
No, I did notice some differences. Like a couple of years ago when I was in Germany, we were just sharing music. And by sharing, I don't mean we were file sharing, we were just showing stuff. And I went to try to find a YouTube clip of, you know, some song. Couldn't get it in Germany. It was blocked.
Because
of German copyright laws.
Well, there definitely is some blocking in different services. I use iHeartRadio for a couple things, and I know for a fact that outside of the United States, you cannot use it. I think parts of Canada you can, but most of the world is cut off from that.
Well, you couldn't make me use iHeartRadio because that's Clear Channel.
No, I understand that, but it's the way I access something, so I suffer through that fact.
No worries.
But yeah, so, I mean, I'm no stranger to this, and I know it's coming. I mean, for the longest time, before Comcast was Comcast, they were called Adelphia. And then the president and his son were caught up in some extortion scandal, and then with the Comcast. And Comcast is slowly laying the groundwork for tiered services, like most people know, where you'll have a service for basic internet, which is browsing pictures, sending text documents. Your next one will be music, some video. Your next package will be this and this. This kind of law will significantly affect people like Sergey. He plays a lot of games online. Guess what? He's using more data than the average surfer is, so he'll have to pay a higher price for it. That's who they're targeting, especially with a lot of the new, like, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One and all these new entertainment systems. They are data hogs, and those people are going to pay for it in the end. I'll be one of them, unfortunately, too.
Well, I don't do a lot of downloading, but we're, you know, just sort of second decade of the 21st century, folks. We watch some online content. You know, I've mentioned having Amazon Prime and watching Alpha House. Well, it's a lot of fun for Agnes and me to do our best Mike and Carol Brady impression and sit there with the tablet between us watching Alpha House. And I guess it's data intensive, but it can't be that intensive.
Depending on if you're not pulling down 4K video, yeah, it's maybe like 20 to 200 megabytes an episode. Honestly, if you're pulling down a gig episode of about 30 minutes, it's somewhere between 1.5, maybe 2 at the most, if it's high def. But most people don't pull down the high def. I pull down like the 480, and it's somewhere around 300-400 megabytes an episode.
Yeah, I just pull down whatever the tablet wants.
Right. But that's basically my speech on that. I don't have a whole lot else except I want to refresh how Sergey had said not all he said the Pentecostals have nothing on the – or Southern Baptists have nothing on the Pentecostals. You remember my story from about a year ago of my mom had a boss who was for the state of Vermont. He was the head dentist for the dental hygienist department. And to make a long story short, he went to a funeral. And Sergey, you better listen to this. He went to a funeral – of a child of a co-worker of both of theirs that had been killed by a drunk driver. He went up to the mother, and he was a full-blown Southern Baptist to the extreme, and said, "Was your son baptized?" And she looked at him and said, well, no, why would you ask? He says, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, he's going to hell. I just want my friends to go to heaven with me." Mind you, he was killed by a drunk driver.
Right.
He was 15.
Right, and of course that's over the age of accountability, which is 12. And that's what I meant when I was telling Sergey that the Southern Baptists are kind of stealth-like. They'll look like normal people, and then you let them into your government, and they start talking about who's going to hell.
And that's exactly what my mom would explain this guy. Nice as pie, nice guy, well-spoken, polite. But if you gave him an edge, he would sneak in there, he'd bring him back like a
rabid
dog.
And the thing that amazes me is that people don't just punch him in the face. How do you not punch that bastard in the face when he says that?
I mean,
this comes from my own family. I remember when we were having the funeral for my father and my sister, to whom I do not speak. She quit speaking to me, not me, her. I got up and said my stuff, and then she had her daughter get up and read her stuff because she was just too wrought to read it herself. And along the way, and this, you know, most of the time it's a case of Agnes having to grab me, like the time she, you know, clamped her arms down and dug her nails into my arm when Joe Manchin was doing the Golden Horseshoe address to my son and the people who had won that prestigious award in West Virginia, and he said, "Wind and solar are the energies of the future, but we need coal now."
I remember that story. I laughed.
Right. And so Agnes had her nails into my arm. Stay right there. Not a word. You are not going. Yeah. And it's along the same lines with, no, you are not going to say Hail Satan at the Dairy Queen drive-through. But on this particular occasion, and if she was in here, she would, like, get all righteous and furious again. When my sister's eulogy got to the part where she asked about our father, "Did Daddy know my Jesus?" I had to restrain Agnes. And so did my other sister. Don't get up. Don't do it. Because Agnes was, wait till I, whoop, nick. And you don't want to be there in a funeral service, you know, just kind of like putting your hand over your own wife's mouth and kind of, "Shut up, honey." You don't do that. Honey, no, don't do that. There are people, this is civilized.
You know, the sad thing is, it wouldn't have been the first, and it won't be the last, like that Rich had at a funeral, because someone doesn't know when to put the filter on to keep their thoughts to themselves. Or they feel it's their right not to put the filter on and enlighten anyone how your lifestyle is going to adversely affect your afterlife, which, who knows? I'd like to think there's something. I have proof of it at this point, but who knows?
Well, it's like Carol just said in the chat room, "Not sure I'd like to be present when Agnes opens up a can of whoop-ass." If you're on the right side of the ass-whipping, It's a beautiful thing to behold.
I'm sure.
I mean, but if you're on the wrong side of it, you're one of those old Maxell tape commercials, and your hair is just blowing backwards.
I wanted to mention one more thing, and I'll let you go. This doesn't require a slug or anything, but if there's anybody out there that's been adopted or knows they're adopted, I posted something pretty neat. It's something that Run DMC, Michael, whatever his name is, I can't think of, did for NPR. He has something he does, like stand-up, that tells stories every week. And I put a link to it. It's a pretty neat story that involves him and Sinead O'Connor.
Cool.
So I will let you go since you only have 30 minutes left to talk to people.
All right. You take care, Jeremy. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye now. Bye. And let's keep it rolling and run over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
What's happening, Bill?
Oh, man, so much. You hit it on the head tonight with the church music. It was, when Sunday was a slow day, I would dial through until I found one of the black stations in Cleveland area, and there was the gospel. The act was going on, the religious act. Damn, man, the music? Yes. Because that, especially the bass players, come in the way, some of these guys are straight out of a good R&B band, you know? The feel is magnificent. But yeah, it's a hustle. I had to take care of my sister. I lost my sister. She was 35 whole years old, and ovarian cancer got her. And so I had the responsibility of that. And I took one of my buddies with me, who's another tragic guy, another sarcastic SOB, and we're going through the place where they're selling the caskets, you know. And
right.
This guy was, this one's got this, this one's like got that. And my buddy piped up, he said, you got one with an automatic transmission? And then I asked for one with backup lights. And at that point, the guy backed away. They're just trying to oversell you, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you ain't right on the nose.
Do we have dual chrome-plated mud flaps?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think I had mud flaps on one vehicle in my life. Yeah, that and the steering wheel spinner. But that was I had an over hatchback that we dropped a 327 V8 in, and that was, I was pushing 40, but I was riding a rubber up and down Euclid Avenue after a job like it was. I'm laughing at myself, getting that thing to shriek when you made the shift in the second, you know? Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can grow up right away. But they had the church service was immensely great. That was without a doubt. And he started talking about these internet companies. Oh, jeez. I'm sitting here with a computer that's ready to be programmed for music for radio stations, but everybody's so pretty busy with their own lives. And one thing I don't do is bug the hell out of my friends about stuff like that, you know. But anyway, I had a compliment. You had the minister down pat, buddy.
Well,
No.
He's just something that comes crawling out of the swamp of my id, based on the creepy shit that I listened to for a lot of years and haven't yet fully recovered from, and may never.
Yeah, I worked with a guy who dragged me to a Missionary Alliance church, and then he pushed me up to the center to be saved, and I went through the act, and he wanted me to come. I was invited to have dinner at his house, and I couldn't, Bob. I said, but I'm not feeling real good. Yeah, if I had had dinner there, I'd have left it all over the couch, you know. That's not the that's not the polite thing to do. But anyway, I'll let you go. But yeah, you hit it tonight with that guy. What a hustle. That's what I used to say about the Reverend Ike. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I say for him, so people got money sent through the mail to him and such. And I guess that's what you call good advertising. You know, you send something out in return, and that gets people. It's a deceit. Like, how do you know if there's a policy racket going on in this country anymore? A numbers racket. And my uncle, my dad's brother, worked for the boys, you know. He was a master.
Yeah.
They called him the man with the golden hands when it came to repairing stuff. And, like, did you see the movie The Killing Irishman?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was Chandler Burns in that movie? Did they use his character? Well, Chandler is Hungarian for Alexander, and he ran...
Right.
He ran the numbers here for a long time, and part of that mess, he came out of a club and got into his Cadillac and accelerated about 10 miles straight up.
I was going to say, and it did its best Apollo impression.
Pardon?
I said it did its best Apollo launch impression.
Yeah, well, so much. I mean, I was coming through here through.
I don't think he made it to a comet, did he?
No. But I was coming through this neighborhood. I was crossing Coventry at Mayfield, going to a party around Halloween. And I got about 2 blocks away, and I heard a big explosion here, green. And another guy had set up a bomb in a gas station down here. So in other words, I was sitting there waiting for the light to change. And by the time I drove for, wasn't more than 2.5 to 3 minutes, I was away from that scene when they blew this thing. Because that was a pretty scary time and a half in this city when all that was going on. And Green was, he was well known around certain neighborhoods. I saw him a lot, never talked to him. But he was quite dead. I'll tell you the thing about him that I have in common with, too. He spent some time in a good Catholic children's home called Parmadale. He was there, too, but he was way ahead of me. He was 7 or 10 years older than me. But that was an interesting time here. And he was trying to push his way in. And the boys from the with the old country roots, you didn't push those guys too hard, you know?
No, you don't, and you say you didn't.
Yeah, and I want to make down in your area, it was the bootleggers. And what was it, Robert Mitchum, Thunder Road?
Isn't that more North Carolina-ish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was places where you could go into a bottle club, you know, and keep a bottle there.
Oh, see, now from growing up in Alabama, I know a little bit about that stuff, Bill, because I grew up in a dry county, which meant, I mean, you couldn't even buy beer or wine. And to be a lot of people, when they hear the word bootlegger, they think moonshiner. But moonshiner and bootlegger are, at least in many instances, definitely different avocations, callings, if you will. Where I grew up, a bootlegger was somebody who illegally sold name brand labeled liquor in a dry county. And everybody knew who they were, and it was pretty much open unless the heat was on. And, I mean, the little barbecue joint down there that I mean, it's crazy, Bill. I mean, I admit, I need help. I fall asleep these days, and I have dreams that I'm eating hot dogs from this barbecue joint down in Alabama, and I wake up, and I'm so sad because it was a dream. I used to have dreams like that about airplanes and motorcycles. Now it's hot dogs. I must be getting older.
Well, I'm a fanatic for chili dogs. We have
This isn't that. You know, these are those spicy mustard slaw dogs. Nobody does them like this joint does. But anyway, that little
slaw
joint,
dog, yeah.
But it's not mayonnaise slaw. It's a mustard slaw, and it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweet and hot at the same time. And when they've got the mix just right, it will bring the sweat and it will burn. And I can rip through a dozen of those little bastards in a sitting without even batting an eye. They're that good. But anyway, that was kind of an aside. That little joint started as a drive-in, carry-out, curb service, and it was down in one of the rougher parts of town, and they made awesome barbecue and those mind-bendingly good hot dogs. My father started eating. My father moved to Alabama before the rest of my family came down, and so he was down there working the new job and saving money and putting money aside and looking for a home and everything. And the good old boys down there that were you know, more than happy to show the Yankee around, because a guy from West Virginia was deemed to be a Yankee in Alabama. I'm not kidding. Well, they in short order they showed, you know, you go down here and you get curb service of pretty much anything you want. Wink, 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 wink. And so you could get barbecue, you could get hot dogs, you could get a pint of liquor, or if you was feeling cold or anything, you could probably get a warm female to, you know,
keep you toasty. Yeah.
And probably everything in between. I mean, that's the way it was. Now they're just down to barbecue and hot dogs. But my God, for all my childhood growing up, our phone number was apparently one digit different from one of the bootleggers.
Oh, fun, yeah.
And the phone would ring, and my mother or my father would pick it up, and they'd say, "Tell Jackie the sheriff's on his way." It would be somebody in the sheriff's office calling the bootlegger to tell him that the heat was coming and to, you know, shut down and hide everything. Because every now and then, the authorities would go through the motions of busting up the bootlegging ring, and then then the bootleggers would have to pay their bribes, and in turn, the local law enforcement would then seize enough illicit liquor, and by illicit liquor we mean liquor with a Tennessee tax stamp instead of an Alabama tax stamp, because we were 11 miles from the Tennessee state line. They'd seize up a bunch of beer and liquor and wine. And then when Reynolds Metals Company, where my father worked, would have their company picnics down at their fishing camp, which was this huge sprawling acreage right on the river, well, there'd be oysters and shrimp and fried fish. They called it, it was a fish fry, fried catfish and oysters and shrimp and all kinds of stuff. And all the this was something that the company put on for everybody who worked at the plant. And they were huge, just drunken bacchanals. And it's back in a time in America where companies were not run by Harvard MBA graduates who figured that they'd lose a millionth of a penny on the quarterly profit and loss statement if they kept the fishing camp and did the fish fry to keep the workers happy, who occasionally fell into furnaces and were incinerated.
Yep.
So they would have all that liquor and beer there, which Reynolds Metals Company would buy from the Colbert County Sheriff's Department, not from the bootleggers. It was an entire economic structure, but all of it was perfectly licitly produced. I mean, Jack Daniels comes from a county in Tennessee that I believe to this day is still dry. You can't buy a shot of Jack in the county where Jack is made.
Oh my God! Yeah.
But you know, it's a bygone time and a bygone culture, and I guess at least where this country is concerned, will never come again, Bill.
Well, in a way, it was so funny because I can remember when they were still voting, whether it was Oklahoma or was it Alabama, where they had voting to re-legalize the stuff on a statewide basis.
Well, it wasn't on a statewide basis in Alabama, because Alabama had freedom, Bill, and that meant what was called
counties.
That meant what was called the local option. So,
okay.
For instance, Florence, Alabama. Well, for instance, Sheffield, Alabama went wet before Florence did, but Sheffield went wet before Colbert County did. So you had to have two separate votes, or individual municipalities, and then a separate vote, because there was Muscle Shoals, Sheffield, and Tuscumbia there, all clustered together. Individual municipalities, they could have individual plebiscites on whether or not to sell liquor, and then the whole county could have a vote. And then it was the same way on the other side of the river. It's crazy. I mean, this is a state that also has a county school system and a city school system, which my father and mother always thought was just insane. so that it, theoretically, if you lived inside the city limits, your child would get a far better education than if they lived what was called out in the county. And it was another way of enforcing segregation.
Yep.
Because if poor folks functional equivalent was sharecropping, if poor sharecropping folks lived out in the counties, they went to a county school that didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. But the families that were moving there for the industrialization of Northwest Alabama and working for places like TVA and Diamond Shamrock and Union Carbide and Ford and Reynolds Metals Company, well, they were living in the city, so they got a decent school system for their children. And that's the school system that I came out of.
So many funny things, Bob. Like, I was thinking today about one college, it was a black college, that produced some of the finest of the early pro football players, the early guys. It was Grambling. And Grambling was what were these colleges? They were basically black in the days of segregation. And, Grambling was one that...
Well, now we refer to them as historically black colleges. And I'm not being snide or smart-assed about it, but they are, you know, they're institutions that were raised up as a means of providing some level of post-secondary education to people that were not allowed, especially in the South, into good, up-fearing, white, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, state Christian... White colleges.
Well, I know Joe Perry was a fullback for the 49ers and years ago when he came out of Grambling. And that coach they had down there produced a hell of a lot of pro football players. Well, what was the one where there was the shootings right around the same time they happened? What was it, Jackson State, was that?
Not sure what you're referring to.
Well, at the same time in 1970, when they were shooting at the four dead in Ohio time, there was a shooting at a black school, too. And I can't remember which one.
That might have been Jackson. Something in my head says that might have been Jackson State.
Yeah, my memory is not as good as it used to be. I have the hardest time remembering some things. The punter used to work with the Browns for years. Paul Brown was an interesting character. He coached Massillon High School and Ohio State. And
Massillon was just a football factory, wasn't it? I mean, we even knew about that down in Alabama.
Well, he was at Great Lakes Naval Training Station. And that's where a lot of these men came through there. I'm still amazed. You know, when you look at the record, Bob, between 1950 and 1955, only three teams played for the NFL title. Out of the West, it was either L.A. or the Detroit Lions, and out of the East, one after another, it was Cleveland Browns.
Right.
So when you're a young kid growing up watching this, and I met Graham and Dante LaValle and a few others, and because Paul dragged him out to Parmadale one time and met all of them, and then the Indians lost this series in four games in 54. So all of a sudden, pro football looked very inviting, and it's been that way with me ever since. I mean, I used to take a ride in the... When they didn't televise home games like they did years ago, I'd get in my car and take a ride out to where the leaves were falling. The light was a beautiful day, and we'd just listen to that radio until something happened, you know. And there were some great players around in my youth. Well, Graham was the best quarterback in history until later on, you know, later when the game became a... It changed, and there were some great ones in the 70s and 80s, too, you know. And even now, the guy in Boston, and, of course, the man in Indianapolis, not in Indianapolis anymore. He's out with Denver now, I believe.
Oh, Peyton?
He's a Southern guy.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but he's astoundingly good. And of course, Pittsburgh, that quarter, and Pittsburgh was another story because the Chuck Noll, who was the coach that took them out of oblivion, played guard for Cleveland, and he was a messenger guy. His he would run play. Runner would tell him what to play to take in, and he'd take it in, and he would alternate with another guard. And I met Chuck at a department store in Cleveland. Me and my buddies talked to him for a couple hours. It was amazing because he already knew the game pretty well. But when he, you know, he looked back. Have you ever seen Pittsburgh's record before he arrived there?
Oh, terrible! Yeah, awful. Hey, Bill, I'm gonna roll along here. We're pretty much nearly out of time. It's awful good to hear from you, and we will talk soon, hopefully.
And keep playing that good gospel music. That'll make a believer in something out of me. Make a believer in music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A believer in the power of a righteous good beat, if nothing else. You take it easy, Bill. Our buddy Bill calling from Cleveland, Mr. Stress. Pretty nearly out of time this evening. Lovely time being had in the chat room. Agnes heard me telling the story of my dad's funeral. And, you know, that's how it works in the second decade of the 21st century. Instead of coming back here into the studio and telling me something, I got an email from my wife across the house. Not even across the house, from about 15 feet away. Are you 15 feet away, honey? No, it's more like maybe 7. Subject line, Satan. Your sister should remove her cloven sandals and find a fragrance that differs from sulfur. Oh, God, I love her so. That's right. Carol in the chat room says, Bob, Agnes can F you up via email. let's see. A last note, since this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we've got just a few minutes remaining. Breaking news of a sort that Tim from L.A. sent. And, you know, Tim is a very, very committed atheist member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation. And being Unitarians, they are more than welcoming of Tim's atheism. Well, this story comes out of Mountain Home, Arkansas, so it may mean something to our buddy Haley. The Unitarian Universalist Church, this writer says, and this is from patheos.com, P-A-T-H-E-O-S. The Unitarian Universalist Church in my hometown of Mountain Home, Arkansas, recently published a letter in the local paper letting the community know that they welcome everyone at their church, regardless of race, religion, or sexual orientation. The reaction? The church had its windows shot out and were left this note. Hello from your neighbors. You filthy white trash scumbilly. Why don't you move to Ferguson, Missouri? Or Chicago, Illinois. Get it? Chicago? Since you like... There's that word that begins with N and ends with S, and I try not. And since you like and queers so well, and you idolize, okay, will you forgive me for reading the word? Because look, this is journalism. I ain't the Washington Post. We can use this word journalistically. You filthy white trash scumbilly. Why don't you move to Ferguson, Mo, or Chicago, Ill, since you like niggers and queers so well? And you idolize the nigger commie Muslin, and yes, it's spelled Muslin, M-U-S-L-I-N, scoliast. No, really. They spell socialist, S-C-H-O-L-I-A-S-T. And you idolize the nigger commie Muslim scoliast destroying the USA. He's the worst garbage to ever occupy the White House, bar none. See how long your white trash ass would last among them, you brain-dead bastard. Just remember, we true Southerners know where you live, asshole. Many exclamation points. The author J.T. Eberhardt says, I come from a very Christian area. There's a four-way stop just up the road from my parents' house with a different church on three of the corners. Far from being a moralizing influence, it seems the idea of a religion that doesn't hate the same people the Old Testament tells lots of the locals to hate has catalyzed the action. Disgusting. Meanwhile, there will be no segment on Christian persecution over on the Brian Fisher program or any of the other weirdo right-wing programs in regard to that. Because that's not Christian persecution. That's Christianity in action. That's Bible-believing Christianity. And Horst with a note to close things up this evening. Bob, your and Jeremy's funeral stories prompted me to share an episode from my son's birth. He had to be delivered by C-section, and for the first few hours, things seemed to be okay, and I was with my wife in her room while she continued to recover from the procedure, when a nurse popped in and said a bunch of stuff in Chinese to me, beckoning me to follow. I had no proficiency in the language at the time, but since my wife was in no position to help me translate, I followed befuddled and bemused as she led me through various corridors and doorways until we were inside the room where they put all the newborns together like eggs in an incubator, where they had my son bundled up and handed him off to her. She, in turn, carried him back out through the corridors to a fire escape, while I, starting to get seriously worried by now, followed her down a couple of flights of stairs until we eventually ended up at the infant ICU section, where they stuck him in a box with some hoses and tubes and other gadgetries while I began busying myself with trying not to come completely unglued. Eventually, we ended up back in the hospital room with my wife. I honestly don't know why my presence was required for any of the proceedings of transferring my son to the ICU. Maybe I had to sign something along the way, maybe not, but at any rate, we got all the way through it without my having gained a single clue about what the hell was going on, and back to my wife's room where we were finally told that the boy had collapsed or otherwise non-functioning lung, and was going to be spending some quality time in the box until they got everything functioning right. Somehow or other, my sister-in-law had established herself in the room with us by this time, and she immediately informed my wife that it was her fault that our son couldn't breathe because she had eaten a frozen dessert of some sort while pregnant with him. The Chinese culture is full of opinions like this on all sorts of subjects, and especially so on successful pregnancies, so I don't know if it was the drugs from the surgery or a genuine belief, but at any rate, my wife was convinced of her guilt by her sister, who apparently had nothing better to offer at such a time of confusion and damned near animal panic. I mentioned earlier that at the time I didn't understand Chinese well enough to follow a conversation, and this is undoubtedly a very good thing, because if I had any idea what my sister-in-law had just said to my wife while we were both out of our minds with terror for our son's health, I'd have been over the hospital bed and choking the life out of her before I even knew what I was doing. So we all got lucky that day, and in a couple of weeks my son got better and we all went home and I didn't go to prison or get deported. The human animal is imperfect and in a state of unfinished evolution. As an example, we tend to develop lower back, knee, and other joint problems. Hello, I know a little bit about that. Due to the ongoing process of adjusting to walking upright. In similar fashion, our ability to relate to each other socially has some very glaring weaknesses, one of which is surely the need to share our expertise whenever the opportunity arises without first weighing the propriety of it. Those of us with enough sense to suppress this instinct are constantly at the mercy of those who don't. We'll all be lucky if we don't end up with the species moving back into trees. Well, but you got to remember, Horst, if we do wind up back in the trees, it won't be back in the trees for the right-wingers and the fundies and the booger-eaters and the snake-handlers and the strychnine-drinkers. No, it'll be our first time. Bear that in mind. Thanks, everybody, for a wonderful evening. Thorn in the Side Thursday on the way tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thank you, everyone, for getting us all the way to finishing off Scott's Have a Show on Me challenge. Scott from Sweden, thank you. Thank you, one and all. Hey, it's 9 o'clock. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.